Sri Janamalava Girbharat Bhari Sri Janamalava Girbharat Shodhanandana Vraj Jana Ranjana Shodhanandana Vraj Jana Ranjana Acharya Ashutosh Sri 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 Madhu Sabandhus Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Paribraja Acharya Ashutosh Sri 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 Madhu Sabandhus Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Iskan BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Ramsikaho Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhanitananda Sri Advaita Gadadha. Sri Bhashari Gaur Bhakta Vrindi ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Kupina. Shamakunna Radha Kunya Giri Govardhanya ki jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Sri Mayapurnavati Sham ki jai. Ganga Mai ki jai. Jamana Mai ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Tulsi Devi ki jai. Shama Veda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Bhai Gopamanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namane Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Paschata Vamsakavaturuvyasya kapasinduveva chapatitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha Mukam karuti vachalam pangulangare tegiram kipatamaham bande siguru dinatarunam Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhanitananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Bhashari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yesterday was the disappearance festival of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. So I thought we should continue discussing churning the ocean. And Yesterday we heard from Pundarik Prabhu, and we heard a bit about his lion-like nature, Singha Guru, and how he was so upset with Mayavadis and with Apasampradaya. And in his prana mantra, we find Apasiddhanta. Anything that was Apasiddhanta, he was after them. So much of his mission was to establish Siddhanta, the truth, in the forest of untruth and misconception, which was all pervasive. And that's why sometimes he would become furious with those who were misleading people. And we also saw with Prabhupada the same thing. He was also furious with people who were, in the name of spirituality, who were misleading people, atheistic science. He was just very, sometimes very, very angry, very, very heavy. So we saw that that was also Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's nature. We heard a story yesterday that he heard a Mayavadi speaking, and he went on stage and slapped him in the face. Pranko Vinda, I also heard a story that he, a similar thing, and he went up and just started shaking this person. How you can talk like that? Yeah. Because the Acharya comes to establish Siddhanta, and there's so much Apasiddhanta. And like in your work, you have Apasiddhanta in the world of science. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was Apasiddhanta in the world of religion, and also in the world of bhakti, there was so much Apasiddhanta. And sometimes the Acharya says things which for ordinary people seem to be antagonistic, unkind, unsympathetic, that lacks compassion, understanding, empathy. That's never the case. And I want to tell a story. It's a really interesting story. I don't know if you've heard it. It's a story about his own disciple. So he had a disciple, a sannyasi. He had given sannyas to, and his disciple wanted to do Ganga Parikrama. That means the whole Ganga. Quite a parikrama, right? Quite a tapasya. I don't know exactly why, where he got the inspiration, why he wanted to do it. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave sannyas for preaching. And so he didn't want him to do that. He didn't feel it was necessary or value. His service was more valuable, so he told him not to do it. Anyway, he did it. And so when he came back, he decided to take away his sannyas. And we heard this story from the godbrother, the disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta, who had to break the news to him. It wasn't Bhakti Siddhanta who told him, it was the godbrother who had to tell him. Guru Maharaj is taking away your sannyas. So he was devastated. And later, he finally spoke to Bhakti Siddhanta. And he said, how could you do that to me? And Bhakti Siddhanta said, you don't realize how painful it was for me to do that. So we think, oh, that's so harsh and so heavy. But what's going on inside is completely different. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was chastising, correcting, showing what we would call heaviness, what is coming from him is not anger or hatred. He never hated anyone that he chastised. Whereas normally if you chastise someone, usually there's, unless it's your child, usually there's something there other than compassion or care. He said, we should only desire the highest good for our greatest enemy. So there's no question that he didn't desire the greatest good for the people he was chastising. And when he was asked by people, why are you so heavy? He said, because this is how I show compassion. So there's this image of the lion guru, but there's also the softer side. Stories of him in the ashram putting blankets on the brahmacharis who didn't have sufficient warm cloth, and you know, very fatherly, motherly. When he was such an exalted person, but he never took advantage of that position. And as was said yesterday, when his disciples would offer obeisances, he would say, Daso Smi. Daso Smi means, I am your Das. I am your servant. Never felt the privilege of being guru. At one time, he explained that Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Vaishnavas do not criticize. He was very, very strong about this. We should never criticize. He would never let his disciples criticize. There's so many stories. And so he said, because Vaishnavas do not criticize, Vaishnavas cannot become guru. Because guru's duty is to criticize. Did you know that? Lecture, you heard that lecture? Interesting. He said, it's out of character for a Vaishnava to become a guru because he has to criticize and devotees don't criticize. And then he reconciled that by saying that the guru serves the disciple, trains the disciple. So the guru's identity is servant. And then he said, for the pure devotee, there is never any situation in life where he can ever think he's anything other than servant. There's no situation that would ever alter his mind, like would happen for us. Right? You open 64 mats, tens of thousands of disciples, honored all over the world, go to your head a little bit, something. So he exhibited that mood. And he did his service in that mood, that I am serving, you are my spiritual masters, but I'm training you, that's my service to you, but I never see myself above you. So one thing that I think is very important for us to discuss about him, that he emphasized over and over again humility. And over again, he talked to his disciples about being introspective, which means, look at yourself, don't look at the faults of others. Talked about this a lot. And we heard stories in which he would never allow a disciple to criticize another devotee. Never. He wouldn't tolerate it. He's very, very strong about that. Because he said, the reason that I criticize is that I don't have one drop of humility. Now, you may have your reasons why you criticize, but this is the real reason. I'm not condemning anyone or judging anyone, but he took that position to instruct us. He said, the reason we criticize is because we lack humility. And humility, it's the most important quality for becoming Krishna conscious. Most important. So he stressed it over and over and over. Humility and love of God, the same thing. You don't get love of God without humility, without having it, and there is no love of God unless there's humility. It is synonymous, and that's why he stressed it so much. And of course, he exhibited it. He taught it in his own life. And there's a story, this is an interesting story. Sometimes he taught by example without having to teach. Without having to speak, he would just do something. I'll tell you a story of what he did. In Gaudiya Math, Gaudiya Math was maintained for begging. Brahmacharis would go out and beg money, food, what was needed for the mat, they would beg it. And that was part of their seva. As a brahmachari, one of the duties of brahmachari. So once a brahmachari came back, or a sannyasi, and he was bragging a little bit about his collection, about how great a collector he is. Today I got 400 kilos of rice and 25 kgs of ghee and this like that. And he heard that and he was very upset. So then he decided to teach them a lesson. He said, next week no one will go out begging. You will just stay in the temple and do bhajan for a week. Why did he say that? He went out, talked to all the grocers and the shop owners like that. He made arrangements to get donations. That whole week they were sitting in the temple watching the rice come, the dal come, the ghee come. It was all happening. He wanted to teach them. You're not making this happen. This is divine arrangement. This is the mercy of your guru, but this is happening. So he, one example of how he didn't like it when devotees became proud. Prabhupada says, he was so concerned about the spiritual advancement of his disciple that if he saw a disciple was gaining weight, he was concerned. Oh, he's becoming a sense enjoyer. He's getting fat. And it's right in Bhagavatam, I think, fourth canto, Prabhupada talks about it. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was concerned to see his disciples were gaining weight because, you know, or, of course, some of us hardly eat and gain weight, but some of us have to eat a lot to gain weight. And so he was concerned. Oh, this disciple, he's eating too much. So another time there was some story, a preacher came back. And, how did it go, Maharaj? Ah, amazing, I gave the best lecture ever delivered by anyone. Make me some puris. I deserve this. Bhaktisiddhanta heard it, chastised him, so upset. Because he's seeing pride. A little pride there. A little deviation. A little sense gratification. Anything, you just catch it. So that's why Prabhupada said he was 90% strict and I'm 90% lenient. Because he was, you know, he was establishing pure bhakti and he wanted to make sure his disciples would be exemplary of pure bhakti. So, one thing I think is important for us, Prabhupada said, you may have heard this, when Prabhupada was asking us to distribute books, he said, this is the desire of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So if you distribute books, you will get his blessings, but the grandfather is more merciful. So you get double blessings. Now, if that's true for the disciples, of Prabhupada's disciples, then you've got double blessings from Prabhupada, maybe quadruple from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. But the point is, Prabhupada's mission was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's mission. So how do we serve Srila Bhaktisiddhanta? Well, here Prabhupada's saying, book distribution was his mission. You help me, you get his blessing. You're directly serving him because this was his order to me. So everything Prabhupada's doing in ISKCON was, well, almost everything, was ordered by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta directly. These were the things Gaudiya Math was doing. These were the things that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta asked Prabhupada to do, or that Prabhupada saw that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was doing, and therefore he did it. And therefore, by serving Prabhupada, we are serving Srila Bhaktisiddhanta directly, and then getting his mercy. Now, if you read the biography of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, one thing you'll notice, that so many things that he said, that he inaugurated, that he corrected, established, Prabhupada did. If you read his biography, the one written by Bhakti Vikashram, one of the first things you notice is how Prabhupada perfectly represented him. Because you will see so many things that he did that Prabhupada did. you will hear so many things that he said, that Prabhupada said. Now, you may have heard this lecture in which Prabhupada said in Los Angeles, I believe I was there when he said it, that don't try to jump over your spiritual master to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that you learn everything through me. Of course, we were very young devotees. What could we understand? But then when Prabhupada translated Chaitanya Charitamrita, then there are so many commentaries of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta he put in there, which we could directly study and have direct access. And then he also said we could read Brahma Samhita. That was approved. So we do have a relationship. And I think it's important to be connected to that and connected somewhat to the history and somewhat to understand that personality. I was thinking today of a point that maybe we don't always think about, but whenever Prabhupada talked about Bhaktisiddhanta, it was always in this mood that compared to Bhaktisiddhanta, I am nothing. There's like no comparison. Sometimes when he was asked about his spiritual master, then he would say, what can I say? He's a Vaikuntha man. Just kind of like, I can't describe him. He's of another dimension. And Prabhupada always portrayed himself as not special, but only special because he had the mercy of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was doing everything. And sometimes he would say that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta sent all of you. It's by his arrangement. You remember this lecture, the famous lecture? I think Pundarik Prabhu was referring to this lecture where Prabhupada said, who knew I would come here? Who knew you would come? Who knew we would meet? These are all the arrangements of my Guru Maharaj. So in Prabhupada's life and in his preaching and his success, he was keenly aware of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's mercy, and he was keenly connected to him. He always, I would not only say felt his presence, I think that minimizes it, that that presence was there. At one time, Prabhupada came to San Francisco in 1970, and before he walked in the temple, he stopped at the door of the temple, and the temple was full brahmacharis. In those days, 95% were brahma. 95% of the movement was brahmacharis. So in the temple, it wasn't big enough for any grihasthas or women. It was full with brahmacharis. And every brahmachari had a shaved head, like shaved that morning. And in those days we wore polyester dhoti, so they never faded and they never had wrinkles. So it was, I don't want to say it was a sight for sore eyes, it was a sight for blissful eyes. And so Prabhupada saw it and he didn't go in the temple, and he was a bit overwhelmed by it, very overwhelmed in a very positive way. Here it's 1970, movement's only been going on a few years, and they're like, the temple is, as they say in Australia, chock-a-block. The temple's chock-a-block with brahmacharis. There's no room for anybody else. And Prabhupada stops and he looks. And he's smiling. He doesn't go in the temple. He's just looking. So I was there. I saw him stop. I saw him look. I didn't think anything of it. And then Prabhupada later revealed why. And he said that he was so pleased when he saw the brahmacharis, that he stopped and called his spiritual master to come see. So what kind of relationship that is. So as I was thinking about this, the nature of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is fairly unprecedented in the modern age. You heard that before he started his mission, he made a vow to chant a billion names. Well, if you break it down day by day, It was 3 lakhs. Normally we say a lakh is 64 rounds, but it's not. It's a little less. But anyway, we'll use that number. 3 lakhs, 3 times 64, 192. You have to chant about 7.5 hours for 64 rounds, and then you'll get an extra 2 hours in the day. No, not even. Yeah. You have to finish 7 hours and 20 minutes. Then that'll leave you 2 hours at the end of the day. 192 rounds. He did that. Some say 7 years, some say 9, some say 10, whatever. He didn't do anything. Well, they even say he was doing some other things while he was doing them. But what kind of personality can sit down like that and chant? And Takaharitas can do it. So who is this personality who's doing that, who's memorized the Gita at 7, who's writing books at 11, who remembers everything that he reads, who's Akhanda Brahmachari, never married? Who is this person? So Prabhupada, when he related to his spiritual master, he always related with great awe that I am nothing. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he's very special. He is extraordinary. And I think that's significant because Prabhupada always wanted to think Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was special, but he never wanted us to think that he was special. And you'll see that. He never revealed anything about himself that special. Or if it was revealed or needed to be revealed, it was played down tremendously. And Prabhupada's feeling always was, I am not special, my Guru Maharaj is special. And that you can be like me. That was Prabhupada's mood. By the mercy of my Guru Maharaj, I have been successful. You also be successful like me by the mercy of the previous acharyas. That was Prabhupada's view. You can do it. He wants us to do it. And I think it's important because, you know, if you look at Prabhupada's life and you look at how he's revealing himself, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Brahmacharya from birth, Prabhupada, Grihastha, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, sannyasi. Prabhupada has a dream. Bhaktisiddhanta comes, takes sannyasi. Oh, Prabhupada said I was horrified. Making this distinction, I'm like an ordinary person. Bhaktisiddhanta is this transcendental person, ready to kill himself if Gaur Kishore Das Babaji doesn't give him diksha. He'll kill himself. And this person is so powerful, and I am an ordinary person, but by his mercy I've done something special. So that's how Prabhupada portrayed himself. That's how he wanted us to see him. And therefore the conclusion is that what I'm doing, you can do also because it happens by mercy. And whatever I've done, it's because I followed him. And this is so important because if you study Prabhupada's life and then you study the life of Bhaktisiddhanta, then you can put it together and say, yes, now I understand what Prabhupada meant when he said, I perfectly followed him. You will see that if you study the life of Bhaktisiddhanta. You may remember that when Prabhupada was distributing books and devotees were asking, why are we doing this? He said, because I picked this up, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, I would sell a temple to print books. So Prabhupada was so connected with the desire. I'm sure lots of people heard that, but they didn't pick up on it like that. So Prabhupada set such a good example of this perfect disciple. The dioramas which Prabhupada started, he sent devotees to India to learn doll making, to establish this. Prabhupada, why? This was one of the main preaching programs of Bhaktisiddhanta. We will also do it. Like that. Just the So, a Prabhupada has left for us this example of this perfect disciple who is saying, I'm not qualified, I was frightened to take sannyas, I'm not a scholar, I'm not a scientist, but I have this order and I have this blessing. And then when Prabhupada became successful, he elaborated on this point. In the same mood, I'm not qualified, but I did what he asked. And many of his disciples who were more qualified did not do what he asked, or they wanted to gain the properties, start their own temples. My success came because I followed his order. That's where the power is, in his order. So now, you may know, 1968, Prabhupada shocked the devotees. He said, I want you to become gurus. I may leave at any time. 1968. How old were the devotees? 18, 20, 22. The elders were 28, I think. The really old ones. Maybe pushing 30, maybe Kirtanananda at that time. I want you to become guru. Why is Prabhupada saying that? What does he mean? What's going on? You, like I did, you stick to the order of your guru, you'll be successful. You don't need to be qualified. I am not qualified. My only qualification is I stuck to the order. By his mercy, everything happens. So that's what Prabhupada was teaching us. We don't have to be qualified, but at least this much we do. We stick to the order. By executing the order, we get the power, and all kinds of things can happen. We have seen what Prabhupada did. So, in this way, Prabhupada was showing us how the power comes down through disciplic succession. And Prabhupada went and did what was impossible, right? I was listening to this talk on Prabhupada's disappearance day. And one of our godbrothers, Aviram, said, how did he say it? He said, when Prabhupada got on the boat, he was doomed to fail. In other words, from the material point of view, he was doomed to fail. There was no way he could have been successful. He had nothing. Going to a materialistic country had nothing. Doomed to fail. And so we know the story. And what did Prabhupada say? What did I have? I had the order of the guru. Therefore I had his mercy. Therefore I was successful. And if you have the mercy, then materially you may lack so many things, but you become successful by the mercy. So, when we see Prabhupada's success, we should think Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's mercy. That's how we understand Prabhupada's success. It's coming through his mercy. And therefore, in the greatness of Prabhupada, we can't separate that from the greatness of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And so, we always are grateful. We always glorify Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. We always appreciate that it's that mercy working through Prabhupada. And we appreciate Prabhupada who brought the mercy. Now, you may not know, but that order was given to everyone. Everyone, all the disciples, it was general order, come to the West and preach. Prabhupada could not forget that order. He got it when he was young. He couldn't do it when he was young, but he didn't forget it. Another fantastic example. We may be given an order which we cannot execute now, but we should never forget the order, never give up on the order. Someday I will do this. And Prabhupada told his story, and then he joked, he said, well, better late than never. And Prabhupada said, I couldn't do it when I was younger. Then Prabhupada said, I should have, but better late than never. So Prabhupada is showing us that example. Here's the order, and the order is impossible. And for Prabhupada, when he came to the West, just as Aviram Prabhu was saying, he was doomed to fail. Prabhupada felt that he was given an order which was impossible to execute. That was his feeling. This is an impossible order. But before he went to America, Prabhupada went to Mayapur to pray to his Guru Maharaj, take darshan of the deities. And he was found in the temple of Nandanacharya crying while he was chanting. And the pujari had known him as a grihastha and then finally recognized him. He said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Because my spiritual master has given me a task which I am entirely unqualified to execute." So crying, not crying that I have to do it, crying that, no, crying for the power to do it. So Prabhupada is going to America thinking, this is impossible. I cannot do this. I am not qualified. And only by the mercy of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta can it be done. And so it's all revealed in Prabhupada's prayers. How will they understand? They don't have the capacity. This is the most materialistic country in the world. At that time, maybe one out of 100,000, a million, 10 million, 100 million would be vegetarian at that time. It was very, very rare. Practically no one even had heard of karma. A few people understood it. No. Spiritually bankrupt. So Prabhupada's thinking, how is this going to happen? He doesn't know. All he knows is Krishna can do anything. Guru Maharaj can do anything. And so that was his mood. And when it was successful, then Prabhupada is telling us, you can also do it. And we're thinking, no, Prabhupada, but you're Prabhupada. No, I am not qualified. You also can do it. Still, we don't believe it. But that message was there over and over and over again. Because you're not doing it. You're only a representative of the mercy. And if you go out, put yourself out, as Prabhupada did, depend on the mercy of the previous acharyas. That mercy is there, not just Prabhupada's mercy. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his mercy, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, all their mercy is there. Backing us. That, I think, is one of the great lessons we learn from Prabhupada's Leela. To not think so much in terms of qualification, but in terms of what is the order. Okay, this is the order. Qualified or not, by his mercy it can happen. Hare Krishna. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, any questions or discussion? Or additional leelas you want to... There's so many leelas. He used to... this is interesting leela. He used to... they used to distribute Mahaprasadam. And he told the servant, he said, tell me what each person takes. I want to know what Mahaprasadam they ask for. It was like his analysis of the consciousness of the devotees. It was like so exacting. I read something really interesting. I think this morning I read it. I didn't know. You've seen that picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. You may have seen sitting in a car in Vrindavan, and he's wearing this like overcoat, which is considered quite stylish. Maybe it still is. But it was not a typical dress for sannyasis by any means. That was considered fashionable, highly fashionable. You wear that, you'd make it into vogue, like that. Like. So, you know, he was questioned, why are you doing this? This is not traditional. And he said, we should dress nicer than the people we speak to, and that way they'll respect us. He said, we should have everything nicer than they have, and that way they'll respect us. Nicer buildings, nicer clothes, nicer cars. Okay, everyone's going to run out and get the latest iMac, right? Or MacBook Pro, because we should. But I found that so interesting. And he would entertain. He would entertain government officials in Mayapur. And he had a very beautiful place with very beautiful furniture decorated, not typically what you would see. And that was the same reason. He said, we should have it nicer than they have. So we impressed them, and then they want to listen to us. Interesting, isn't it? So everyone, go shopping tomorrow, get some new clothes. You have to dress nicer than everyone else. Yes, he said, the devotee should have the best. And then he taught this principle, yukta vairagya, which we're familiar with and accustomed to, which means using things which normally you wouldn't use. You normally you renounce them, use them in Krishna service. But it was a little difficult for some of the disciples because they wanted to be detached. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was upset. Sometimes they were too detached. They were detached from the things they could use. And he felt that some of them didn't understand the principle, and he used Prabhupada as an example, as far as I remember. He said, why aren't you understanding this principle? Abhay Babu, Abhay Charan, he understands how to use everything. So Prabhupada said they made two mistakes, some of his godbrothers. They made the mistake of renunciation on one side, not using it, renouncing it. Which means you have to renounce sometimes your desire to be renounced. That's also an attachment. It can be. Your desire to be renounced can be an attachment if you're attached to being renounced. So sometimes they were attached to being renounced and they wouldn't use certain things because they wanted to live free from them. But they should have used them. They could have been used. As you know, he had a printing press in Calcutta, had a printing press in Chennai, had a printing press in Krishnanagar. And he himself wasn't trained as an editor. He knew the whole business. And then he said, the other mistake was on the other side, where in the name of service, we're going to use this for service, they would use it for sense gratification. It was like the exact opposite. He said, they made both those mistakes. We'll open a temple, but actually it becomes a place where we can get money and a place to live. And we can take that money, buy some food, so then the temple becomes kind of sense gratification for us. So he said they erred, some of the godbrothers erred on both sides. That was a problem in Gaudiya Math. I'm waiting for questions. I'm just remembering things. Oh yeah, Yadubha, or comments.
We were sitting in Prabhupada's room in Juhu. Prabhupada was living in an apartment, Mr. Acharya's apartment. And this Indian gentleman came in. He threw himself full dandavats in front of Prabhupada and was glorifying him. Swami, you've done so much. You've done this, you've done that. You've written books, you've made disciples. He just went on and on. He didn't stop. And finally, Prabhupada said, kind of softly, he said, you become like me. And the man kept going, then Prabhupada repeated louder, you become like me. And then I was stunned and the man was really stunned. You become like Prabhupada? So anyway, Prabhupada said it a third time very loudly. And then, it was his desire, as you mentioned. Not that we just praise and praise and praise and don't do anything, but that we become like Prabhupada, become pure. Hare Krishna.
They had a certain kind of disciple that was always paying dandavats but never doing much. So they had a name. They had a name, something like Dandavat Prabhu or something.
You know, it was a whole, not just one, it was a whole group. You know, well, there's the Dandavat Prabhus. Yeah, something like that. There's a beautiful story about Dandavats, obeisances. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is leaving Mayapur. In those days, it's just, there's no paved roads. And it's raining. And as the car is coming up, there's a disciple just full Dandavats in the mud. And you think, what a fanatic! Come on! Srila Bhaktisiddhanta stops and said, why did you do that? He said, Guru Maharaj, these Dandavats are my only wealth. What an inspiration.
Gave donation. So in the at the end, Prabhupada was glorifying 12 Mahajans, the importance of 12 Mahajans and their teachings. And at the end, this gentleman got up in the back. He says, Maharaj, I think you are number 13 Mahajan. Prabhupada said, yes. And you join and become a good devotee, you become number
14.
So it's always inspiring.
And you're all number 15. Yes.
Thank you for a very nice class. So you said we should have everything nicer when we meet a non-devotee. So I would like to know why, and follow-up question is, so do we have to dress up not in like dhoti kurta or something, or go in a like a usual casual dress or something?
No.
When we distribute books?
You can if you want. He said, because the nature of people is that they judge you by what you look like. So he said, they're not going to hear from you if they don't respect you, right? Just like Murli here, like he speaks in learned circles, but if he was a high school dropout, they'd be like, get out of here, we don't want to hear from you, right? You need a few letters after your name, you know, like PhD really helps. And if you have two, it's even better, right? A couple books, you know. So that's, it's just the way it is. So that was his idea. Dhoti, kurta, whatever. Just, you know. Even the business people say this. I've heard business people say, when I show up, I dress nicer. I make sure that I dress nicer than everyone, because then I'm the head honcho now, because I look better than everyone. So like, ooh, look at him. So that's the idea.
When you say that you mentioned the reason he took sannyas, or his disciples, the cloth he can be wear because he saw that Ramakrishna Mission was taking over Bengal.
Uh-huh.
So the original sannyas cloth was the Ramakrishna color with Ramananda Sampradaya color, mix. And then he says, I'll take Kitambi. So our internal intention is fixed, but externally we adjust whatever way anybody will be interpreted to hear about Krishna.
Yes.
That was the principle.
Yes.
It was not an expensive dress or wearing, but any way to attract people to hear about Krishna. That was his motto.
Yeah. And
where there is a rolling biri,
yeah,
he did that. He even arranged a hookah to smoke during the class. Because his minister would leave every 15 minutes. He said, why is he leaving? And then the disciples inquired and found out his habitude. He had to have a hookah. So I said, next day they brought the hookah in his place where he sat. And then he said, that changed the minister's heart. He never smoked ever after that. And even the meat, Siddharth Maharaj said, the whole idea is that
And as Prabhupada said, we're not going to put up a big poster. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami is giving a lecture under this tree. Everyone invited. He says, nobody will come. He says, but he's giving a lecture in Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir, this big, amazing temple. Now everyone will come. So that's the idea. So you can see, if you go to India, you can see Gaudiya Math temples there, and deities, they're quite well maintained compared to other temples. Our temples seem to be better, the best, but Gaudiya Math temples, I'm always impressed. Things are done well there. That was the standard. I mean, obviously there's a few amazing temples in India, but in general, you know, in our deities, like what Prabhupada established for us, everything first class. He was giving a lecture once and the microphone wasn't working. And Prabhupada said, there's a Bengali saying, when you buy something, buy the best. So I have a recording studio, so that's my excuse for buying the best microphones. Because Prabhupada says, buy the best.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Sorry, that was loud. I had a question. Something that I really liked that you said was, I feel like so many of the times, like, think of Prabhupada and he's like literally out of this world and amazing, but I like that you mentioned that all of his success only came from his guru. And it made me think of the verse from Bhagavad Gita. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it talks about how the soul is not the doer. But yes, I think that specifically refers to material nature. But I was just wondering, when you act as an instrument for your guru, for that mercy to really come through and to let it empower you, is that an action of the soul, or is the soul never the doer?
Yes and no. You have to be qualified as a recipient of that mercy. And see, Prabhupada, he was so sincere in his desire that Krishna just used him as the puppet. So you know, you have to be qualified. It's a contradiction. You have to be qualified to get the mercy, in a sense. But it's true. And the more qualified you are, the more you, that mercy can work through you. And that's why we try not to limit ourselves materially in what we're capable of doing. I mean, you know, obviously, we wouldn't ask you to do brain surgery tomorrow. But within our service, we don't want to limit ourselves. All right, we want you to distribute books. Oh, I can't do that. I'm shy. Don't worry about that. Just go out and be an instrument and do it sincerely and see what happens. So then because you make that effort, then all of a sudden you start saying things and you're amazed. And all of a sudden you become bold. You say, I was never bold before. Now I'm bold. Where is that coming from? It starts happening because you sincerely want to do the service. Then Krishna starts giving you the words, the energy, the right attitude, the fearlessness, and so forth. That's one of the most beautiful things about Krishna consciousness, is that you can experience being used, and you can watch yourself doing things, and while you're doing it, you can be thinking, I can't believe that I'm doing this. I don't even know how I can do this. That's part of the ecstasy. It's almost like you're watching a movie. Isn't it? Anyone who's done books has that experience. Anyone who's given a lecture has that experience. Yesterday in class you said this. Really? Tell me what I said. I said that? Are you kidding? Oh, that's interesting. Let me write that down. Seriously, that happens. That happens to me all the time. I was there was a time when I was giving class on Facebook, and if I said something that someone liked, they would write it in the chat. And so, like, you know, 20 minutes later, I'd read it in the chat, and I'd read it, and I'd say, "Oh, that's an interesting point. I thought they were making the point." And they say, "No, you said it," and I actually didn't realize I said it. So I didn't say it. That was just coming through me. And Lord Chaitanya, when he was speaking to Ramananda Roy, (clears throat) he was saying that you're bringing out of me what I'm speaking is. Is it Ramananda Roy he was speaking to?
Yeah.
And I said that your desire to hear is bringing these words out of me. I don't even, like, I've never said them before. And you're going to find this very interesting. Lord Shiva said, I'm not sure if Vyasadeva actually understands the Bhagavatam. The person who wrote it, I'm not sure if he understands it. I understand it, Sukadev, but he might or might not understand, I don't know. Now, how is that possible? Krishna is using him to speak it. Whether he understands it? Sukaveti. Ahambeti. Sukaveti, yeah. Vyasaveti naveti va. Maybe he knows, maybe he doesn't. Ahambedni. Ahambedni, Sukaveti, Vyasaveti naveti va. I know it. Sukadeva Goswami knows it. Vyas, I don't know if he knows. Maybe he doesn't. So, Prabhupada said, I speak to these big scientists. I'm not a scientist. I defeat them. How is that possible? Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thai go premanandi hari hari go. What, we have one more question. Oh.
Sorry, I was just wondering, because you made the point, you were talking about dressing like nicer than, like the being the nicest one dressed in the room so that people listen to you and having the best equipment and stuff. How do we not let that puff us up?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll give you some insider information. If you want to be recognized, you don't need to dress up. You just need to do anything, and that will make you proud. Isn't it? Isn't it? You know, it's like, you know, just get a, you know, cool mask and walk around and think, hey, I got the coolest mask on campus, you know. So it doesn't, you know, that's how the ego works. You know, you're just like anything. And if you're doing it in service, okay, Krishna wants me to do this out of service, so then that's the mentality. It's for service. And then if it's for service, it's not for me. And pride is for me. And glorification of Krishna is for him. So I'll do this for service. So I'll, as they say, dress to the nines. Did they say that in America? Is that British? Dressed to the nines. Maybe a British. That's American?
Yeah.
Yeah, old time. You can dress to the nines and not become proud because you're doing it for Krishna. And you can dress like a slob and still become proud because you'll find some reason. You know, no one has a slob shirt like that, only you. You know? So now you're special. You have the ugliest shirt in Gainesville. That makes you special also.
So,
that makes sense?
Yeah, so it's pretty much like a just whoever, like your nature, like, or your paradigm, basically. If you already are going to be prideful, then you're going to be prideful anyway, and if you're not, then
Prabhupada
you're not.
Prabhupada said that pauper is proud of his penny. So what's a penny? Hey, I got a penny. You know, I'm the man. So that's my, when I say insider secret, yeah, that's my realization, you know. If we're looking for honor, you don't have to do much. You'll just, you know, you'll think everyone's impressed by anything you do, isn't it? And you'll look for opportunities to impress people. It won't take much. But if we're doing something, and you see, when you follow an order, that's the meaning of humility. So if my guru says, wear this whatever, you know, name brand and drive in a BMW and go to this program and give a lecture that gets a standing ovation, just blow them apart. Okay, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do it humbly because that's his order. And if I can do that, then I'll go to bed at night and I'm still nobody. I just did that because he asked me to. That's humility. And I can blow their minds, get a standing ovation, and go home, you know, the same as I, you know, the same Prabhu, I mean, the same Das that I was before. Because that was his order. And that was his mercy. And I know it was his mercy. That's why I don't get proud, become proud. And as soon as I think, I am such a great speaker. I have such good taste. Look at these clothes I wear. Nobody could pick clothes like this. And I'm so funny. And I'm so clever. And I'm so bright. And I have this huge vocabulary and I impress people. Goodbye to your bhakti. It's over. You know. Now you have the adulation of people, but not Krishna and Guru. So that's the idea. So if my guru, whatever he says, if I follow that order, that's humility. Arjuna, kill all these warriors. That's humility. Arjuna is saying, no, I'm not going to kill anybody. That's pride. Looks like compassion. It's pride. Looks like anger. It's humility. You have to understand it that way. Correct? Okay, we should end, right? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gopi Manande, Hari Hari Bol.